We'll kick off the new year in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Welcome to the first rain report for 2009. I'm Blair Alper, KA9SEQ. New Year's Eve has its straight key night, which encourages the use of basic non-bug type Morse code keys instead of the ubiquitous electronically enhanced and keyboard keyers. The first weekend of January has its ARRL RIDI contest, which features vintage radio teletype machines, but virtually every Saturday during the year, Midwestern hams on 80 meters can participate on the Vintage SSBNet, a gathering of hams transmitting on vintage ham gear. One of the driving forces is Mike Sager, N9MS.
There's a net that meets on Saturday mornings. It's the Midwest Classic Radio Net. It's a bunch of AM guys that meet on 3885 at 7:30.
80 meters?
Yes. I listen to it almost every single Saturday. A fellow up in Green Bay, WB9GKZ, made an announcement on the net one day that any of you guys that have vintage single sideband equipment, if you want to meet after the Midwest Classic Radio Net in 3840, come on down. We'd like to hear some of the vintage single sideband stuff. So everybody switches from their old clunky AM equipment on 3885, and they switch it to their old clunky single sideband equipment and go down to 3840. The net meets almost immediately after the Midwest Classic Radio Net finishes. The AM net doesn't usually go on much past 9 o'clock.
Central time.
Yes. Generally around 9 o'clock, people start gathering around 3840 with their vintage sideband equipment. So the way the net works is Pat, WB9GKZ, takes check-ins. And after the first round of check-ins, he kind of passes it around one by one. And people just talk about what kind of radio they're running that particular day. You know, I was listening to all these things that I remembered back from my teenage years. And I thought, gee, I wish I could see some of this equipment that these guys are talking on. You know, I remember looking at it in catalogs back when I was a teenager. You know, I only had very limited radios back when I was a kid, of course. And I mentioned to WB9GKZ, I said, Pat, you ought to come up with a website so that we could all see each other's radios. And he said, well, that wouldn't be me. Why don't you do it? So I thought about it, and I said, okay. I announced on the net that, you know, hey, if you've got digital pictures, send them to me. I'll edit them and put them up on a website. I did a domain search and found that vintagessb.net was an available domain name. So I bought it and set up a website on my own notebook. So for the first week or so, everybody was just connecting to my notebook. I thought, well, this isn't going to work out if people want to look at the website when I've got my notebook on a consulting assignment or something. So I put the website on the hosting service.
Now, why did you go for vintagessb.net and not .com?
Because I thought, well, what is this? This is the Vintage SSB Net that meets on 3840. So I thought, why not have it be vintagessb.net? If .net could mean, you know, kind of the technical stuff of the Internet, I thought we could have our own little meaning of .net, which is a ham radio net. That's why I decided to go with .net instead of .com. It just kind of sounded just right for the vintage single sideband net.
I've noticed that vintagessb.net is not just pictures.
We wanted to come up with some ideas for getting people to, you know, check into the site besides just looking at pictures. And I got a note from Pat. He said, you know, I've got an idea. What if I record the net? I'll edit it down to give everybody that checks in a little blurb. And then if you could upload the MP3 files after the net, they could go up to the website and listen to what their radio sounds like. So I thought, oh, I think that's a really good idea. I bought some kind of pseudo streaming software, got it set up on the website. And Pat sends me a bunch of WAV files every week. I convert them to MP3s, upload them to the website, and the little piece of software that I use, it's a little Flash program, essentially does a pseudo streaming of the MP3 files. So the guys can listen to their radio or any other radio.
We're running the Eastkit Hot Water 12 again. We took it in the house and made some adjustments here. I repadded the carrier oscillator. And I hope we didn't get too muddy or bassy, but it was awful tinny before, so we readjusted it.
What I've been doing now is, besides having a page that just has a bunch of MP3 files that the guys can listen to, I also have added a little, like a play button to some of the photos in the gallery that match up with some of the audio files. So, for example, if you look at the K9 DXI, you'll see his Swan 350. It's a Swan 700. And there's a little button there, and you can press the button, and you can actually hear the Swan transmitting. It's another little feature that I added. It's just kind of a fun thing to do, and we're all having fun. We've got about 35 check-ins or so, which is kind of just about the right amount for what we're trying to do.
We got the Swan 700CX running. I'm not sure. I've had a couple of bad radio reports since I got it running. Using the D104 microphone, so you're going to have to be the judge on how it's running. It looks like my watt meter is peaking at around 200 on White Peak.
The files aren't really all that big because they're only about, 15, 20 seconds of audio each week for each of the check-ins.
Oh, so it updates every week.
Oh, yes. If you check in with a Swan 1 week and then a Drake the next week, and then a Phase Master the next week, we'll have all three files up there. So you can then go back and hear the difference in the sound between your Drake transmitter or your Swan transmitter or your Collins KWM1 or, you know, whatever you happen to have.
The gentleman who records these directly patched into the output of his receiver?
Yes. So we're hearing everything, how it sounds coming through Pat's Helicrafter's receiver. The webpage is broken up into three sections. There's the left side, a middle section, and the right side. The left section has what's changed lately on the website. The middle part has information about the net itself, and on the right, there's a list of check-ins. Everyone that's checked in that particular week, there's an RSS feed that I keep updated, so that if anyone is using an RSS feed reader, depending on what kind of RSS reader they have, they can find out immediately when the site has been updated. So I've added that. And the other thing we do have is a map. Now, of course, I don't know how great this would be for sight-impaired people, but for the sighted people, there's a Google map with essentially a push pin on the map, actually their exact address as defined by QRZ.com, you know, using their latitude, longitude. So I've got a push pin on the map for every person that has been checking in regularly, especially the people that have photographs. But I've tried to get everyone that's checked in, gotten them a push pin on the map, so then everybody can see kind of where everybody's located that checks into the net.
VintageSSV.net is the website address. And if you want to check into the net to be part of that website, either with a photo or audio from your vintage transmitter or transceiver, you can go to the Vintage Sideband Net on 3840 kilohertz in the Midwest on Saturday mornings around 9 o'clock.
If you do check in with a very modern radio that has no tubes in it, you'll probably get razzed, although we welcome you to join in the fun. Don't be surprised if you get a little razzing.
We're running the line here of the Yaesu with the ICOM, so the Yaesu 2000 and the ICOM PW1. So how does that fit your ears?
Everybody get together and give him a radio spanking.
You can't keep the old radios on the air, that's why.
That's right.
Of course, it's always fun when people check in with a radio that has lots of tubes lit up. We like those kind of radios. Anybody can check in, no matter how old the radio is. This is the place that you get to showcase your HT32 or HT37, whatever it is that generated sideband back 25 or 30 years ago or more.
And again, for those who have an old AM rig, check out
the Midwest Classic Radio Net.
On Saturday mornings on 3885 kilohertz, 7:30 a.m. local central time. If someone would like to email you, would you like to pass along an email address?
Sure, they can email me at N9MS, that's N9MikeSierra, at VintageSSB.net.
That was Rain's Hap Holly, KC9RP, speaking with Mike Sager, N9MS, a driving force behind the Vintage SSB Net and the webmaster of VintageSSB.net. Parenthetically, the website is quite accessible for our screen reader users. In fact, you'll find a link close to the top of the page that will allow for easy access of the aforementioned short MP3 files there. If you have access to 80 meters and can check in Saturday, please let them know you heard about the Vintage SSB Net here on RAIN. The RAIN Report is copyright 1990 through 2009, RAIN, all rights reserved. Now for RAIN's founder and producer, Hap Holly, KC9RP, I'm Blair Alper, KA9SEQ, bidding you very 73 from all of us at RAIN, the Radio Amateur Information Network, www.therainreport.com.